Time to move on to part three of Mary Ann's presentation, Child Safety Plan. Can you tell us more, Mary Ann?
Yes, indeed, I can, Tim. Thank you. As I said, there are two tools that we've developed to help us implement the LCA Child Safety Standards for congregations. The first is the self-assessment tool that an assessor appointed by the church council will put into place. The second is the child safety plan. Now, what I want to again emphasise here is that this will be the responsibility of the church council. There will be no delegating it out to anybody. It'll be the responsibility of the church council to develop, okay? So in that sense, the church council will need to receive the self-assessment tool that's been completed by the assessor, have a look at those strategies that have been identified, have a good look and analyse and have a look at how well the congregation is going in relation to each of those standards and those areas of always, some of the time, not very often, never, and have a look carefully at that. But it's important as church council members that you don't just take the assessor's judgment on face value. You need to scrutinise it. You, as the church council, are the ones who are responsible for this child safety plan. If the self-assessment process has been filled in a very fluffy way and hasn't been done very thoroughly, it's up to you as the church council to be able to hopefully pick that, maybe send it back for more assessment to be done, or maybe ask somebody else to try and redo it or whatever. But it needs to be done well, and you need to review that. So anyway, once you receive the child safety plan, it's your responsibility to develop a child safety plan from the self-assessment tool. Sorry, we've got a little mix-up with some of our slides here. So I might just get Dave to go on to the next slide after this one. Yes, that one. So this is what the child safety plan will look like. And again, we're looking at standard one. Because I'm just using this as a good example. I've got a couple of other examples to show you in this particular section. Your church council will need to receive the self-assessment tool, go through it really thoroughly, have a look at the, as I said, at the judgment decisions that have been made in relation to each category and in relation to each initiative that sit underneath the standards. Your church council will then need to have a look at the suggested next steps that the assessor has made. You remember there were some strategies that we looked at identifying, and make decisions A, about whether they're suitable strategies. If the church council is scrutinising this well and says, no, this is just doesn't match at all what the assessment's been, I don't think these steps are going to do it at all, you might need to come up with some different ideas yourselves. But it's your responsibility to identify the next steps that are going to happen over the next 12-month period in relation to each of the standards. And preferably, you would think that those next steps will all be in relation to the areas of greatest deficit that were found in relation to each of the standards and that were adjudged by the assessor and confirmed by the church council. The church council will also have to sit down. You might want to do, I don't know whether your church council does this in a meeting and nuts it out during a meeting or has separate meetings individually with each other afterwards or whatever. I mean, I would think you'd probably just sit down in a meeting and nut it out. I mean, I guess it depends on the size of your church council and how busy your agendas are. You'll also need to identify somebody in your congregation for being responsible for it happening, okay? And then identify some sort of time frame. So what I've done here is I've put a little fictitious one together for you on the next slide, which is what the council might come up with. So let's say the assessor came up with a few of these ideas that are listed there, but the church council has added a few more. So one thing the church council, and probably they should be in order of priority. The council might say, we are going to publicly communicate our zero tolerance for child abuse in our congregation. We're going to communicate this publicly to the congregation and elsewhere, to anybody who reads any of the information we put out to the community, anything that goes up on the websites, if we have one, if we have a newsletter, or we're going to put something publicly up in the foyer, in the Sunday school rooms, in the areas where the youth groups head, youth groups are held, in the kitchen, wherever. I know that in one organisation I worked with, they had it in the kitchen so that when people were washing their hands or doing the dishes, they could just see this commitment that they had to keeping children safe just about everywhere they went, and written in different ways with, you know, different, maybe different backgrounds or different happy, nice, colourful photographs of children or whatever. So, you know, I've written here JT, whoever JT might be, he or she is completely fictitious, to prepare a draft statement. Or you may want to use the draft statement of commitment that we've developed for the LCA overall. Then you might want to say, by when? Well, we want to do this really quickly next year. This is going to be one of the first things we do. We want it done by March. So that gives you something in your church council. When I said child safety is on your agenda for every church council meeting, you're reviewing these dates and you're reviewing how well these initiatives are being completed. Another suggestion might be your council might sit down and say, we're going to declare and widely communicate that we have a priority in relation to child safety in all child protection matters that are brought before us. For example, in person of concern deliberations. However you word that, I don't know, but I know that that's a really difficult issue. When persons of concern issues come up in congregations, we often have this really difficult tension between the rights of the person who is a person of concern to worship and the rights of the child who might have been abused to safety, or the rights of the rest of the children in your congregation to feel safe and be safe. And also, if you think about, if you've got victims of abuse in your congregation, what are their rights in relation to that? So you might want to sit down and do that. I would love it if you did. Third point, which I think you should all be doing, council to ensure that child safety is included on our agenda for all meetings. So the council secretary might say, yep, February 2023, we're going to start that. Great, fantastic. You might want to say that you're going to display the child safety commitment and the standards, you know, that lovely poster that you've got in the chat, if you want to have a look at it, that I've already shown you, that it's going to be on display. You might laminate it. Your office secretary might be responsible for doing that. You're going to display it in all sorts of lovely places around the church and the congregation. Number five could be your pastor sitting in the church council meeting, or, you know, having been interviewed by the assessor, starts to think, no, I reckon what could be really good is if I, as I think I suggested this before, I'm going to devote three sermons this year, as in 2023. I'm going to devote three sermons, next year to issues of children, their importance, their significance, their vulnerability, their protective needs, what Jesus says, what the Bible says, and I'm going to make them feel respected and loved and cared for and important in our congregation. I'm going to do that three times. And then we might have a celebration of children after each of those sermons by having a morning tea or a barbecue or something where we call it our day for celebrating the children in our congregation or something like that. You might have somebody who wants to, some of your youth leaders, for example, you might suggest in the church council, I really want, one of the things that challenges us is alternatives to hugging for children. You know, you might have an issue where pastors are saying, well, what do I do when the kid's just suddenly hanging around my knees? How do I manage this stuff? And, you know, or when older kids are coming up and wanting to hug pastors or youth leaders or the Sunday school teacher or whatever, there are a lot of good ideas out there available that and sort of things that you can teach children or inform children about, and also people working with children about alternatives to hugging. So you might say that MP, whoever that MP is going to inquire about that, perhaps ring Tim, ring me, talk to your professional standards officer in your district, get online, look at some alternatives, and do that by June 2023 and have some sort of session with all of the key children people in your congregation. And then council to regularly review child safety plan progress. I think that's going to be essential. I think it's going to be written in as a mandatory thing anyway in relation to the standards. So, you know, you might select March, May and October for next year. I've done some similar ones for Child Safety Standard 2, which I won't go through them. If we could have the next slide, Tim. Dave, thank you. For Standard 2, I love Standard 2. I've worked, as I said, with a lot of organisations. It's the standard and the area where most organisations fall down. Everyone says we value children, we respect children, or, you know, the safety of the child is our absolute priority. Not many organisations are able to actually enact that. It's quite difficult. So some suggestions you might have, as I said before, do some surveys, introduce some new prayer options that are about engaging and empowering children, if you can find some, or write some new ones, get somebody to have a look, run age-appropriate sessions for children and youth about what helps them to feel safe in church. Ask them, as in actually sit down and ask them. And then ask them, well, what could make it better? And if they say, well, if I don't feel very safe, I hate the toilets. I hate going out to the toilets that are outside in the dark. If it's during youth group in the evenings, I hate going out there. I don't feel safe. So ask them, how could we make things better? Here's one. You could run a couple of sessions on social media safety in your youth groups. Such a big topic. You might want to have somebody exploring stuff online, or you might want to talk with me or talk with your PSO, or you might have other resources that you know of. Another thing I've done recently, I've done for quite a few organisations, and I've done recently for part of our LCA, is looking at children's codes in terms of expectations and responsibilities. So having actually helping children understand what they can expect from you as a congregation in terms of safety, but also what their responsibilities are in terms of not bullying, in terms of taking care of themselves and taking their own safety seriously, being sensible, listening, not bullying other children or being rude to teachers, like that sort of thing, so that you're putting something up and you might want to display it. And you might want to spend some time talking with children. They might want to develop it themselves. So I love standard two, which is why I wanted to include it. Standard five, I think I've talked to a bit about. Some of the steps that the council might want to look at is for the coordinator to conduct an audit around working with children checks. You know, maybe SMO is out of date and you're really worried that there's some people who are working with children who don't have a working with children type check. That would be really concerning. You might want to do some sort of review and report that through to your PSO. I know that's something that you coordinators struggle with and are doing all the time, but I just think we could put it in there, and then it becomes the church council is responsible for making sure and supporting you in that happening. The other thing that you could be doing is also putting something out in relation to making sure that publicising regularly from the church council that individuals are responsible for making sure they renew their working with children type checks, etc. Another idea that we could put up here that church council to receive biannual reports of working with children check compliance. So you've got it actually on your church council agenda twice a year. Renewal reminders, we talked about that. Oh, role descriptions in relation to roles such as Sunday school roles or support worker roles on youth worker excursions or a youth worker role or whatever, having role descriptions. Church worker support, we should be able to help you with that, but they'll only be able to give you sort of the broad level role descriptions. You might want to write specific stuff that sits underneath that. It's an important thing to have so people are clear about what their role is. And it really does help in terms of clarity around keeping children safe. Then we've also got this big one, a really hard one, about actually employing volunteers or appointing volunteers carefully so that you're conducting referee checks, but also you're critically assessing the suitability of that person when you're talking to that referee. So I know what happens in churches. I know if it's a small church, you've got very few volunteers, and if somebody puts their hand up to be the Sunday school teacher, everyone says, yes, yay, she'll do or he'll do. What we've got to do is be really careful about that process, and we need to be really checking the appropriateness of those people and conducting referee checks. And I know that's tough and I know that's hard, but that's something your church council should be considering and looking at some responsibility in relation to. I think that's almost the end of part two for me in relation to what the child safety plan will look like. Overall, I just wanted to say that the child safety plan, as I said, will be the responsibility of the church council to prepare and disseminate and to communicate, but also to monitor and review, to make sure it's being fulfilled and to have a look at progress. And if it's not progressing well, it's the responsibility of the church council at each of its meetings or periodically at its meetings to have a look at whether there needs to be things need to be rewritten in terms of the strategies, or we need to look at different things if it's not working. So it needs to be reviewed. It also, which I'm going to talk to you about in part four of my talk, it needs to be communicated up and delivered to your district office, which will then in turn a summary of it, of all of the child safety plans of all of your all the congregations in your district will then go to your district church council or board. Okay, I'm going to talk to you a bit about why that's so critical and so important in the next phase. But before I do, there's just one final thing I wanted to say to you. These tools are made of paper. They don't breathe, they don't talk, they can't think, They can't make your congregation safe. The only people who can do that are you, primarily the church council, your coordinators, and whoever the church council delegates various responsibilities for in your child safety plan. They won't be helpful unless you embrace them and make them work. They cannot do it themselves. They're only bits of paper. And of course, which I've said all the way through, and I will keep saying, this will not be effective if it's something that you view as just a piece of compliance. It's almost not even worth doing. It won't create any change in your congregation. It won't create those happy, safe, connected, lovely children I talked to you about. It won't maximise their safety in terms of when issues come up, they speak up about it, or if something's happening to them, it won't help them speak up. It won't help you make reports when you have to. It won't help to keep the children safe in your congregation. You have to embrace this stuff and make it work, and make it work well. So thank you. Now, Elizabeth, I think we're now up to you in terms of whether or not we've got any questions about the child safety plan.
Yes, thanks, Mary-Ann. Look, there's been a couple of questions. I'm just going to try and combine this one. There's a question around how we talk about congregations, but in some of our areas of worship, that church planting, so perhaps not yet a formalised congregation, so do they need to do this sort of thing? And then the other question that can be related to this is some of our congregations may worship in a rented hall or are sharing a church space with another denomination.
Good question.
How do we then perhaps put up posters or show what our church is asking when we worship in a different, in a context that's perhaps not our own building?
Great question. And I think sort of the follow-on from that would be also if you've got a small, if you're church planting and you may be meeting in people's homes, this issue about resources and printing and all that sort of stuff.
So, and then there's another question as well. So if you can combine those two, then I'll give you the next one.
Yep.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes, I can. Well, look, I think in terms of church planting, I would suggest to you in relation to church planting, you're still, if you're, say, got a small group and you're meeting in someone's home regularly, you're still worshipping. You, and especially if you've got children, you're still part of the Lutheran Church of Australia and you still need to be meeting these standards. So I would say, yes, you do need to do this. But I think it's again, the answer to that question would be around the capacities and the size of your congregation. So if you're a little group of a small number of people who've just starting out in terms of church planting, you don't yet have a premises, et cetera, I think we can probably talk about how we could maybe do this in a way that's less demanding for you. Thank you for the question. It's not something that I've addressed in the whole context of setting these standards up. So I think I need to go away and have a think and maybe talk to some of you church planters in the consultation and we can maybe come up with something that works well. What was the other question about was, if you're sharing premises.
Yes.
Look, I would still say if you're sharing premises, I would hope that you do have the capacity to use some of that space for your own business. And maybe it might be something for your church council to negotiate with whoever you're sharing the premises with to have some space that's yours. I think it's important that you have it. You need it for rosters for morning and afternoon tea, or rosters for who's coming in to clean, or you need it for notices about different things that are happening. So I would say you also need it to be able to show and demonstrate what your commitments are and what you take seriously. So, yeah, I hope that helps to answer it. I would say try and negotiate. Yeah, was that all the questions?
No, there's one more, but Tim, do you want to add to that?
I've got my hand raised because I've noticed we're just about at our finish time. So
All right.
Part four and maybe rattle through that, Mary-Ann.
All right, okay, thank you.